Chapter 45. Lieutenant Pavel's head was still throbbing from the fire extinguisher blow, but it was nothing compared to the pain of seeing his uncle's lifeless body at the bottom of the ravine. The embassy attaché Michael Harris believed the captain had jumped, but Pavel knew better.
Janáček was fearless, not a quitter. He was murdered, and I know who killed him.
Robert Langdon's list of crimes against Uzi was growing ever longer since his hotel stunt, resisting arrest, assaulting an officer, stealing an Uzi weapon, and now, if the jumble of footprints on the ridge were to be believed, murdering Captain Janáček and fleeing the crime scene. Alone now at the bastion, Pavel was recuperating on the plush couch in Gessner's reception room. Harris had given him a bag of ice, told him not to move, and then headed off to the U.S. Embassy, promising to call Uzi headquarters immediately about Janáček.
That fall was no accident, Pavel knew.
He also knew that Harris was full of shit. The attaché had no intention of making that call. He was just buying time so the embassy could concoct their lies before Uzi even heard about Janáček's death. Pavel had pulled out his phone to call headquarters himself, but after thinking a moment, he paused. He had no doubt that the arrest of a prominent American would end, as it always did, infuriatingly, with the U.S. Embassy stepping in, taking over, and finding some loophole to leave Uzi in the cold.
Oko za oko,
Pavel said aloud, knowing how his late captain would handle this situation.
An eye for an eye.
Nobody was aware yet of Janáček's death, which meant Pavel had a small window of opportunity to handle Langdon himself.
But first I have to find him.
Locating a fugitive in a city this size would have been nearly impossible, except for one ace up Pavel's sleeve, which would turn the tables on the American in an instant.
Janáček taught me to bend the rules, to improvise for the greater good.
Technically, Pavel did not hold sufficient rank to do what he had in mind, but he was in possession of Captain Janáček's personal phone, which he had found on the snowy ridge. With one little lie, Pavel could change everything. Langdon would have nowhere to hide. Dana Danjek marched back into her office at the embassy, still fuming from her confrontation at the Four Seasons. The ghostly woman from Charles Bridge had scared the hell out of Donna, which was not easy to do.
She aimed a fucking gun at my face.
Donna's jealousy had turned to seething rage.
Who the hell is she?
The answer, Donna knew, was already waiting on her computer, the results of the facial recognition search that Donna had launched nearly an hour ago with the screenshot from Charles Bridge. Donna hurried to her computer and sat down. As expected, the program had run its complete cycle. Donna stared at the results in disbelief.
There must be some mistake.
Search complete. Matches zero. Donna had never had a database search return no matches whatsoever. In the modern world, it was a physical impossibility to exist without leaving a single digital footprint anywhere. Digital whitewashing was the only possible way for a person to remain outside this echelon database. The network was U.S.-owned and operated, meaning the American government could create invisible people simply by limiting search results to exclude any faces they preferred untraceable. This technique was employed often to ensure the privacy and security for government officials, prominent American business people, and undercover military or intelligence personnel. Donna considered the puzzling bouquet of red, white, and blue tulips she had seen in the royal suite. These flowers were the standard welcome gift from the U.S. ambassador to American VIPs visiting Prague, and as PR liaison, Donna was responsible for having them delivered. The problem was that these tulips, Donna had never even heard about. Did the ambassador organize these herself?
Ms. Danyek, a woman bellowed from the doorway.
Donna spun, knowing the voice at once.
Madam Ambassador, I was just...
Were you at the Four Seasons? Donna opened her mouth, but no words came.
Did you follow Mr. Harris there?
No,
Donna blurted. Well, sort of. I thought...
You thought what? The ambassador's glare cut through her. Donna stared at the floor.
Shit. Ms. Danyek, this is precisely why we don't sleep with co-workers.